Welcome back to University of Minnesota Extension's Nutrient Management Podcast. I'm your host, Paul McDivitt, Communications Specialist here at U of M Extension. Today we're in Crookston, Minnesota at the Northwest Research and Outreach Center. We have a big group of crop and nutrient management researchers who are going to talk about what's going on across the state. Can you each give us a quick introduction, then we'll jump into the discussion?
Jeff Vetch, researcher at the Southern Research and Outreach Center in Waseca.
Greg Klinger, Extension Educator in Rochester.
Annie Nelson, Extension Educator out of St. Cloud Regional Office.
Fabian Fernandez, Soil, Water, and Climate Department in St. Paul, looking at nutrient management.
Yuxin Miao at Soil, Water, and Climate Department at St. Paul. I work on precision nutrient management.
I'm Albert Sims. I'm the Director of Operations of the Northwest Research and Outreach Center here in Crookston.
Lindsay Pease, I work in Nutrient and Water Management here at the Northwest Research and Outreach Center.
Vasu Sharma, Irrigation Specialist, Soil, Water, and Climate Department at University of Minnesota.
Brad Carlson, Extension Educator, work out of the Regional Office in Mankato.
Melissa Wilson, Extension Specialist in Manure Nutrient Management.
Paulo Pagliari, Nutrient Management Specialist at the Southwest Research and Outreach Center.
And this is Daniel Kaiser. I'm a nutrient management specialist located out of the St. Paul campus. So I guess today, you know, it's a little bit different format we have for the podcast. Normally we go through and talk a little bit about a specific topic, but I thought it would be a good idea, you know, kind of showcasing the fact that we do talk to each other. It isn't that we are all doing research independently of each other. So once a year we try to get together, come to one of the research and outreach centers and take a look at some of the projects that are going on. And this was the year for Crookston, which is good because Lindsay's one of our new faculty members and just getting on the just getting things in the rolling. So I just thought we'd just go around and talk a little bit about some things that are going on at different areas of the state and just maybe some new projects and see a little bit about more of kind of what highlight what we all do with some of our research across the state. So I guess I'll start with, you know, looking at Crookston here. One of the my main focus has been on phosphorus, potassium, and sulfur. And so we've been doing a number of projects, long-term projects related to P and K management. One of the things, had a project end this last year that was 10 years out, looking at timing of application. And so it's kind of nice getting up here, looking at some of the plots. We've had some plots looking at timing of application, mainly for fall spring application for phosphorus. It's one of the plots I've got up here, and also some zinc plots to look at some different sources of zinc. And I've got a number of these actually across the state, and a number of us who kind of see that aren't necessarily regional focused, but we do tend to do or try to spread the trials out across the region because I think that's really important because some of the questions are different. Particularly with phosphorus in this area of the state, looking at, we start looking at carbonate levels and, you know, some of the questions become different with fall versus spring application just because of some of the capacity the soil has to tie up phosphorus. Normally, we haven't been making recommendations for differences in fall versus spring application, but seeing some differences in timing in the rotation of maybe some better timing with, if you're looking at like a corn soybean rotation of when to apply but fall spring, and we know a lot of the nutrients are going on in the fall, and there's still a lot of that being done. So the question is whether or not we need to be looking at some other things with that. So looking at what we saw out here, not a lot of difference that I could see, although it gets a little bit of rain yesterday, so it's kind of hard to get out into some of the fields. So it's one of the things I'll be interested to see if, you know, whether or not we see some differences in terms of fall application, particularly on the carbonate levels that we have close to 10% in some of these sites, to see if that maybe has some impact on some of the tie-up of phosphorus within these this particular location. So let's, I guess, Lindsay, I guess it's a good segue, just talk a little bit about what you're doing up here and some of the things that you're interested in looking at.
Yeah, so some of the things I've been looking at really relate to how nutrient and management and water management are going to interact. We have a lot of problems in the springtime with too much water, and then as we get later into the summer, we get really dry. So there's some implications on that for how nutrients are moving off the field. What you might apply in the fall or in the spring could come off in some of that water that we see happening in the spring. So some of what I'm setting up I've got a couple of water management sites that are kind of in the works, one being a large-scale drainage research plot, and I'm hoping to get that installed later in the summer, so stay tuned. There may be a field day event when that installation goes in, that I'd be really excited, you know, to have people come in and talk more about drainage, bring drainage into kind of the broader conversation in Crookston and in Northwest Minnesota. The other site that I'm starting to work on is a historically manured site. So it's got those really high soil test phosphorus levels that we always talk about being somewhat problematic for water quality. But we actually want to take a look at, even though we have really high soil test phosphorus there, what's actually coming off in the surface runoff. And then the next step would be, what can we do to lower those levels? Maybe even how are we going to make some of that phosphorus available for the plant to take up? And the other thing that we've got going on up here, we are one of the sites for a long-term nitrogen trial that's going on across the state. So with that, I may throw it back over to Fabian to talk about that.
Sure. Thanks, Lindsay. And yes, we have this long-term nitrogen project. I'm the lead on the project, but it's a coordinated effort across the state. And so this group of nutrient management specialists and people in the group are working together with this project. We have locations in southeastern Minnesota near Rochester, and then Lamberton, Morris, Becker in the Sands, and then here in Crookston. And the idea for this project really is to understand the long-term effect of nitrogen management. This is a long-term project, probably 10 to 15 years. We will be applying, in essence, a set of treatments, of nitrogen rate treatments, for the duration of the study, and then look at the responses that we have based on that constant N rate that we apply over the long term, and then seeing how management may impact that, if we change rates or things like that, what impact that might have based on the long-term effect of those nitrogen rates. So that's just starting, and we are doing a lot of baseline sampling right now, just so we have the information of what the conditions are at time zero right now, and then we'll be able to compare that to what happens, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, how things change in terms of nitrogen in the soil, organic nitrogen, crop response to nitrogen, things of that sort, the soil health aspects of, as well. And then there are other projects that are also kind of state, across the state. We have a study with urea looking at fall versus spring applications of urea. And this is, again, this is in Waseca, Lamberton, Morris, and Crookston. And this is really looking at the best management practices we have for the state of Minnesota. In the western part of the state, fall nitrogen applications with urea are an acceptable practice, but we are seeing substantial change in terms of wetter springs, warmer winters, and we are reevaluating if this best management practice is still applicable for our state based on the climatic conditions that we are experiencing. In terms of water quality and nitrogen, I have a few projects, one in Lamberton looking at source and timing of application and tile drainage, the nitrates that come out of there. We are also looking at some of the nitrogen that comes off to the atmosphere as nitrous oxide, greenhouse gas, and ammonia losses. And then another one in the in Pope County, looking at the effect of nitrogen rate with and without cover crops and living mulches. And so those are more intended to look at the effect of nitrogen and water quality as well as the crop production. So that's kind of in a nutshell some of the
pretty busy that, yeah, across the state. So I mean, we look at a lot of the stuff we're doing is statewide, or you got a lot of stuff around the state. So I'm gonna kind of do a little focusing in some of the regions, you know, South Central, Jeff, Greg, Brad, anything kind of big going on in terms of anything new down in that area?
Well, I have one new AFRIC project, and that's taking the old long-term phosphorus and long-term potassium projects and looking at band versus broadcast applications for corn, and that's getting set up this fall. It's kind of been in an interim phase right here in 2019 growing season, but that'll be interesting to look at, especially with the kind of the economics that growers been having to deal with corn and soybeans.
So in the southeast part of the state, I do a lot with on-farm nutrient management work. So I look at it as kind of the flip side of the coin. You know, university research is great at looking at how does this particular practice, you know, specific source of nitrogen impact water quality or yields. And what I do is look at the opposite side of it. You know, what do you see across the landscape and does that, you know, line up with what we see in research? So the big things I've been focused on the last few years and continue to work on is on-farm nitrogen trials. So looking at how do different practices, different timings of nitrogen rates, things like that, impact yields and potentially water quality in the southeast. And we have a number of trials that's in conjunction with the Department of Agriculture, a number of trials across the southeast where that's going on. The other thing I've been really focused on is actually monitoring water quality from tile outlets in our area to see, you know, what sort of nutrients are actually coming out from farm fields across the region. And a big thing I've been interested in there recently and looking at is how much of that is controlled by practices, how much of it is coming from just inherent soil properties that aren't controllable, and how much is coming from the weather. And we have definitely gotten a lot of opportunity over the last few years to look at the impacts of weather. So that's been pretty interesting.
I work a lot with Nitrogen Smart. I think people are kind of aware of that program and teaching the basics and fundamentals of nitrogen. There's a chance we're going to be having a few of those meetings towards the end of summer in some localized areas where we have a local host. But beyond that, we've talked in the past that we're developing a advanced Nitrogen Smart series. Last year we added manure as a topic. This year Dan and I will be working on something we're calling a deep dive into the four R's, which is really going to be looking at all of our recommendations and what the science is as far as things being variable and changing from site to site, year to year, seasonality of them and so forth. And so that's, you know, that's a big chunk of what I'm going to be doing this year. Kind of on the field applied side, I'm working with variable rate nitrogen treatments again this year. We've got a grower research project that was funded by the corn growers looking at multiple variable rate nitrogen recommendation technologies and just sort of evaluating performance of those. Because most of these commercial products are proprietary, we can't ever really dig deeply into what's going on with, say, a crop model and how it's making recommendations. But we certainly can see what those recommendations are, as well as what the yields are, and then sort of evaluate whether we're seeing anything. We're not necessarily doing this to sort out one versus another and making a recommendation of a specific project or product. More than we're kind of looking at the whole concept and how we use these things and evaluate them. And we know there's going to be some year-to-year differences, some site-to-site differences and so forth. And so that's, I guess, a snapshot of some of the things I'm up to.
Yeah, I think that's a really good segue in. Like with Yushin, I mean, we don't always have, you know, we see a lot of us on the road with extension, but we do have campus faculty that are working on or working with some of us on some of this. And Yushin is one that's really more of a focus on precision ag. You know, that kind of goes along with what Brad's been talking about. So I don't know if you want to just share a little bit about some of the things that you've got going on, because I know this is your first year really getting some things going.
Yes, I have been focusing on precision nitrogen management, and we just want to evaluate different sensing technology, including ground sensing, unmanned aerial vehicle-based remote sensing, and satellite remote sensing, how we can use these technologies to better diagnose crop nitrogen status during the growing season and use this information to guide in-season nitrogen management. And we are also trying to use crop growth models to simulate long-term optimal nitrogen rates for different soils in different regions of the state to better help the farmers to understand the optimal nitrogen risk they can adopt. And we also want to try to combine these technologies to improve in-season nitrogen management. And we are also developing approaches to use easily available data to delineate a farmer's field into several management zones to facilitate precision agricultural management. Yes, and we are working with small plot experiments and also work with farmers doing on-farm evaluations.
Yeah, and I said it's one of the things that, you know, being an extension role, we do have a few people on campus that are working on it, and it's one of the things that we do interact a lot with it. So while you may not see some of these people on the extension side, it's definitely at least some of the information being generated by some of the joint project that's getting out there. So the Southwest, Paulo, you got some things going on this year?
Yeah, there is. Of my own project, I have a very interesting project that FRAC is funding. We're looking at atmospheric deposition of nutrients. A lot of the group is looking a lot at what's happening in the field, but I'm more interested in also checking what are the nutrients that are coming down with rainwater. Just some preliminary data that we looked, we are seeing that there's a lot of nitrate and ammonium. And to my surprise is some of the new data that we are collecting, we're seeing there's also about 60% of the nitrogen that comes down in water is in organic form. And what we've been able to find is that the majority is in the urea form. So it's, to me, it was quite interesting to see. I knew about nitrate and ammonium, that's easy to explain how. But urea was more of a surprise to start detecting those in the rainwater. And also one of the things that was very surprising is that we are aware that rainwater has more of an acidic pH, but the pH of the water samples we're collecting are very alkaline. They're between 7.5 and 8. So that's mind-boggling, and you're gonna have to try to explain that better as we get more data from this trial. And we have collection stations at 5 of the major ROC within the university. We have locations at Crookston. Lindsay is managing that one for us. We have a location at Morris. We have one in Lamberton. We have one in Waseca. And we also have one location in Becker. So we should be able to get a pretty good representation of what's coming down in the rainwater. But we're also looking at other nutrients, for example, sulfur. It's been a while since we've done any testing on how much sulfur is coming down with the rainwater. We haven't done any testing yet, but within the next couple of weeks, we're going to be running those samples for sulfate as well. I'm also interested in looking at other nutrients that could be coming down or other elements that could be in precipitation as well. I also have a couple other trials that we are starting. I have a trial where we're just doing some preliminary trials this year to look at placement and source of phosphorus, trying to see if we can develop some data now to go and look for funding for next year to do a bigger trial. And I do a lot of collaborations with Fabian, Melissa in her manure trials that she'll be talking about, and also with Dan, some of the sulfur work that he's doing. So I think that all keeps me pretty busy throughout the summer and winter.
So I guess just kind of shifting a little bit, Melissa, you've been here for how long?
2 years almost.
2 years. Yeah. So, I mean, looking at manure management, I know you've had some projects that are getting close to the end, hopefully. We'll see. You got at least some students that want to graduate, but talk a little bit about what's going on, I guess, in the world of manure.
So we have three kind of themed projects that we're working with. One of the projects that I'm working with Paulo and Jeff down in southern Minnesota deals with trying to figure out our nutrient crediting from manure. So how much nitrogen, how much phosphorus are we actually getting out with our different weather patterns that we see? We want to know, like, are we getting out as much as we think we are based on our current recommendations? So we're working on that. We're just planted our second summer's worth of crops to see what the nutrient release looks like from manures. So that'll be another couple of years till we really get some of the overall data out, but we're starting to report on some of the preliminary data already. The second topic we've been working on, and this is the one that's getting closer to wrapping up, is a graduate student project we're working with on-farm side dressing of manure. So we're using a liquid swine manure with a drag line system, and that's always the kicker because everyone's surprised that we're dragging living corn with a drag hose. And so we're doing that on farm, but we're also doing some trials on stations as well, where we're dragging, just using a drag line full of water to drag corn at V1, V2, V3, V4, V5, and V6 to see at what point can you not drag corn anymore. And so far it's looking like V5 is definitely pretty damaging. But again, it's all just observational notes so far. So that one's been a lot of fun because a lot of people were kind of suspected that we wouldn't be able to do it, and we've actually gotten pretty good results so far. Our first year of data had some pretty good yield results compared to side dressing anhydrous and side dressing UAN. It actually looked pretty good, so we're excited about that. But again, it's 1 year of data. We'll see what the second year brings. And then the third kind of themed project that we're working on are cover crops and manure. And we're doing that in west central Minnesota and south central Minnesota. And it's on station, and we have two sites on farm as well, where we're trying to see how early can we get cover crops established, and then can we inject with a low disturbance injector system manure into the cover crops to see if the cover crops can help secure some of those nutrients over the fall and spring so we reduce some of our losses over time. But that one's just getting started this year, so we'll hopefully have some preliminary data this winter.
So I guess, you know, you talk about two of most of our group being working with nutrient management. Vasu, one of our new hires. You've had some nutrient management background, but a lot of work now with water management and irrigation. Annie, too, kind of working in that central sands area with you've a little bit shift in your job, but not too big of a difference in terms of what you're doing right now. But I'd talk a little bit maybe about what's going on and some irrigation in the central part of the state.
Yeah, so we have started two projects this year, mostly in central Sands region because that's the area where most of the irrigation happens. So one station is the Becker Research Farm, where we started this study looking at different irrigation management strategies. So there are like four irrigation scheduling methods that we are looking at, and then look at nitrate leaching throughout the growing season and soil moisture, like how these different management strategies differ in terms of total water volume use. So the idea is comparing the traditional irrigation scheduling method, which is traditional checkbook method that farmers usually use, and compare them with advanced irrigation management strategies like soil moisture sensing and using weather data and web-based irrigation management tools. So this study is going on in two sites, Becker and Westport in Pope County. Both of them have same treatments. It's just looking at different sites, and because both of them have different precipitation amounts throughout the growing season. The other study that we are doing is irrigation and nitrogen interaction study. So for now, like the irrigation, the nitrogen recommendations that we have are based on rain-fed or 100% irrigation. But moving forward, we are looking at deficit irrigation management strategies. So this study would give us some preliminary data of irrigation levels and nitrogen, different nitrogen rate interaction to start with new BMPs maybe for nitrogen management at different irrigation levels. So this is the first year. I want to do it at multiple sites, but this is the first year, so we started it at Becker Research Station. But the idea is to have more sites over the years. And then I'm collaborating on this project, both of these projects with Fabian, and now Yushin is collaborating on the irrigation nitrogen interaction project to take some UAV images and do some in-season nitrogen management.
Yeah, and another study that Vasu and I kind of started on the side, which was more of a demonstration trial, is we're working with three farmers, one in Rice, one in Bruton, and then one in Hastings, and we're looking at a comparison of two fields. So them using their own irrigation scheduling system, whether that's a hand feel method or they have some sort of advanced method, and comparing that to some soil moisture sensors that they have in their field. So we're working with a bunch of different partners because, you know, if it doesn't rain, you have to go check. If it rains, you can wait a while. So we have a bunch of people helping us out to check these soil moisture sensors, and then we would give them a recommendation on how much to apply and when using these sensors. So that's just started, and it's still raining, so we have nothing yet. We've checked a few times, and of course, they're still wet. So that's going on. I also have two demonstration projects, one in Sherburne and one in Morrison counties, which are really affected by the groundwater protection rule. So we're looking at some nitrate leaching there, which is some small rate trials. Because, you know, a lot of the flack we get is that our Becker Research Station really is just a sugar sand, and the sands kind of vary between this heavier soils and the sugar sand. So getting some different information from parts that may be a little heavier than Becker.
Yeah, and then those on-farm trials that we have, the idea is at the end of the growing season, if we irrigate, we'll compare these two side-by-side fields in terms of how much water and energy used, and then,
So I guess to wrap up, Albert, I know you've been a little bit of shift in your roles over the years. You were a lot of nutrient management work here up in the Crookston area for a number of years. Any comments you might have?
As you mentioned, Dan, I've moved more into the administrative side of things. And actually, my research resources, I've actually turned over to Lindsay to get her program off and started. That she is the future up here. One of the challenges from a nutrient management was, this year from a production standpoint or practical standpoint, a lot of fall tillage did not get done last fall, not only in southern Minnesota, but up here as well. And then we also had trouble getting fertilizer in. My understanding is with the flood situations on the Mississippi, it was hard to get barges up here. So, you know, just here on the station, our commercial operations here, we had a real difficult time getting fertilizer in a timely manner. Sometimes we had to wait up to 4, 5, 6 days, and that really slowed down. Planting was late anyway, and so that created a problem. So if we were having troubles, of course, the producers in the area were also having trouble. So planting got started late, but around here, the crops looked very good. Things got done. As you go north, it was a little drier. They got started before we did. As you go south, of course, you have those wet areas. So we feel fortunate around here so far. We did get the fertilizer we needed, finally, and we'll see what ends up at the end of the year.
Yeah, and things do look good. I mean, looking at some areas of southern Minnesota in particular, you're seeing some areas that didn't get planted this year just because of some of that issues. It's been a challenging year, but I guess, again, I said this is a good time for just to talk a little bit about what I wanted to do on this podcast, a little bit about what's going on, just because we don't always get together, and in terms of the information of the stuff we're talking about, we do have a few different outlets for that we do have yearly. I know, Fabian, you want to just mention quick just some dates that are upcoming for next winter for some of the meetings that we might have, and some of this you might be able to get some of this information on?
Yeah, so there are two conferences where we actually, we are in June, but we are already planning for February, February 4th and February 18th in Mankato and Alexandria. Will have the Nutrient Management Conference and the Nitrogen Conference, and a lot of the information that is presented there is the research that we have been talking about in here.
So it's February 14th in Mankato is the
4th and 18th.
Yes, it's the 4th in Mankato for the Nutrient Management Conference, and the 18th is the Nitrogen Conference in Alexandria.
Correct.
All right. Well, thanks, Albert and Lindsay, for hosting us. That about does it for the podcast this week. We'd like to thank the Minnesota Agricultural Fertilizer Research and Education Council, AFRAC, for supporting this podcast. For the latest information on nutrient management, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at UMN Nutrient MGMT, where you can also send us your questions for future podcast episodes. Thanks for listening.